redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot. So obviously we're looking at the blood of Jesus. Now, so what happened is Jesus came to the slave market and he ransomed us. That word redeemed there in the Greek is actually ransom. He paid a ransom that couldn't be paid by money. It had to be paid by something more precious, which was the blood. And of course we know that if you dig a little deeper, that the blood has the life and the light of the Zoe life of God in it. And so he literally gave life for you. All right, so we're going to look at the seven ways here. So number three, click. All right, the sweating of the blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. So this is Luke 22:40. Click. Number four, when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. I think we forget about that sometimes. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, that word agony is actually in the Greek, it's the word agonizo, and it means to struggle, to fight. There's great exertion going on here. And so he's pushed to the limit. He's facing the hardest thing anyone would ever do because he's not just getting beat up. He's going to die, and he's going to take on sickness, and he's going to take on sin. And so it says here that he sweat great drops of blood. And so the word drops is actually the word thrombos. It's a medical term, a medical word that points to blood, usually like clotted blood. And then when you join the two words together, the Greek word for sweat is idros. And so what you would see there, you have a condition called hematidrosis. And so it's a condition that occurs only when someone is in this very high emotional state. So it doesn't happen very often to people, but the blood gets between the layers. And so he literally sweat blood. And so, click, this signifies, this is number five, slide five, that Jesus won back our willpower. He won back our willpower. That's big. And so we're able to resist temptation. I don't know if you use that or not, but it's been won for you. It's been won so that you can resist temptation. And so he overcame the greatest temptation that was so intense that so he was sweating that blood. But he literally redeemed our willpower. And slide number six, this is number two. The stripes that Jesus took on his back, shedding of the blood at the whipping post. Now, John 19:1 says, so then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And so we all have seen this scene. We know this scene. We're familiar in the Bible. So from the time Jesus is arrested to the time he hung on the cross, he went through a lot of torture. So now, you know, if I could say this to you, watch how much you pay attention to Hollywood stuff, okay? I mean, I've been fit to be tied over some of the stuff I've watched lately and some of those new things they've created. It's some of it, I'm like, Jesus did not do that. But in this case, it wasn't like a little mark right here, a little thing right here. Is actually, I mean, it was a serious thing. And so they spit in his face. They pulled hairs out of his beard. They slandered him. They said horrible things to him. And then they send him. He went before Pilate, and then he went before Herod. And so Herod and that crowd mocked him and treated him maliciously. And then they used him for amusement. They're just torturing him. And they put on this regal robe and made fun of him. Then he gets sent back to Pilate, and he's gone through all of this after... He's gone through all of this, and then after that, what's happening? his disciples are sleeping. That's probably pretty rough. And so he's having this intense moment in the garden, and then he's betrayed by a kiss. And so then he's arrested like a criminal. And yet, I don't know if you've seen the scene lately in one of the movies. I just went back and watched some of them, but four people come to arrest Jesus. Y'all, 600 people arrested Jesus. The temple police, the Romans. There were so many people out there because they didn't think they could take him. And when he said, "I am," when they said, "You, Jesus," he said, "I am," they all fell out by the power of God. So this is not a little thing. There's just so much junk in these movies. I was watching one where Mary told Jesus, "Yeah, your father and I, we didn't have food to eat sometimes when you were growing up." I'm like, have y'all studied any history or read the Bible? Joseph and Mary had money. Mary went to temple school. These are not little poor people. Joseph is an architect. He's helping build. He helped build Nazareth. He helped build Bethlehem. He had all this stuff going on. They weren't starving. But this comes out. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, the worst thing I've ever seen is the one that's showing the one disciple that doesn't get healed through the whole thing. That's hideous. It's hideous that they did that. What they're trying to teach the people in that is he heals everybody, but he might not heal you. The Bible says he healed them all. Whoever had faith and they came in line with him. He didn't let so-and-so's engagement, fiance die. You know, they play all that up. It's not right. It's just not right. But all of this is right. All of this is right. This is out of the scripture. This is the Greek. All right. So he scourged. Romans were professionals. You know, they like to do this. It's big. They took great delight in the fact that they're the best at punishing victims. Of course, you know, the Romans had and it's still standing, there's a Colosseum in Rome, and they did a lot of stuff in that thing. It was horrible. So anyway, the scourge itself had these short wooden handles, about 18 to 24 inch straps, and they had sharp, rugged pieces of metal, wire, and glass. So it wasn't just a little bullwhip. This thing was dragging parts out. Okay, it's bad. And so they harnessed his wrist to a 2-foot high scourging post. And then they put two torturers to go to work. And that's why we see this scripture in Isaiah 52:14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He was so messed up, you couldn't recognize him as a man. That's how much they tore him up. He was marred beyond recognition. So, and this is all before the crucifixion. All right, so then he scorned, he stripped totally naked, disgrace, humiliation in the Jewish world. If you're stripped totally naked, that's a big deal. So Isaiah 53:5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And so click number 7. This signifies that Jesus won back our health. He won back our health. His body was broken, so ours would be made whole. He made us whole. Amen? And so this is huge. Our bodies are redeemed. And half the Christian world doesn't even believe that. If it be thy will, I might get healed. It is his will. Jesus paid. Amen. So that we could be whole. So number 8, click. He was bruised and suffered internal bleeding from being beaten. And so that's that same scripture. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. So internal bleeding. So bruising. So that would signify, number nine, that Jesus won back our right standing with God and delivered us from our iniquities. In other words, sin. So he paid the price for all the sin nature in us. Amen. Bruises are internal. So it's taking care of all that. You know what iniquities are? They're sins of the fathers. In other words, it's highly likely that their behavior was passed down through generations or something in your life. You know how people say, my grandpa was an alcoholic, my dad's an alcoholic, so I'm an alcoholic. It's that kind of thought. You know, now, that doesn't mean don't break those cycles. We've broken those cycles because we have the DNA of God. But, I mean, if you lived out in the world, that would be. But Jesus paid for that. Jesus paid so that you, just because grandpa was a stinker, you don't have to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. Reminds me of when Vanetta Copeland met Jimmy Hester. And he said, well, my grandpa died at 49 of a heart attack, and my dad died at 49 of a heart attack, so I'm probably going to die for it. And Vanetta Copeland said, tell me the truth about that. And he repeated that. Well, my dad died. She said, tell me the truth about that. And he repeated that again, and she jerked him up by the collar. I said, tell me the truth about that. Jesus paid. And Jimmy, Pastor Jimmy, is actually my pastor's pastor. And actually, we have his pulpit back here. Pastor Jimmy loved Deb. He said she was the greatest praise and worship leader in the world. And, you know, they're the same size. Pastor Jimmy, real little, he'd come riding in on a Harley in Lockhart. Remember that? And he'd get off his motorcycle and come in there and preach. A little bitty man. But he's powerful. And so good friend of Brother Copeland's, of course, and good friend of our pastor. Well, it was his pastor. So... but that's the way we need to think. Tell me the truth about that. Jesus paid. So tell me the truth about it. Don't tell me who had what and what's going on with you. Tell me the truth about it. All right. So number four is 10, slide 10. The shedding of the blood when receiving the crown of the thorns on his head. So this is John 19:2. Says, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put him on a purple robe. So this signifies that Jesus won back our peace of mind. He put it on his head. Free of torment. We should be free of torment. So, and I would also include, if you'd ask me, I would include the physical part too. Our brains. You're free from Alzheimer's. You're free from dementia. You're free from losing it. You're free from letting demon spirits run what you think. You're free from it. You're free from worry. You're free from all that. Jesus paid for it. Amen. By bleeding out of his head. Right. Amen. You're free. I wonder how much we really believe that. It's true, though. It is true. Tell me the truth about it. I like that. Okay. So Jesus redeemed us from wrong thinking, from fear, from torment, from anything that could grab hold of our brains. Number 11, Amanda, this is number 5. It says, the blood that was shed through Jesus' pierced hands. Now, this is Matthew 27:35. It says, then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. You mean they wanted that little bitty old stinky old piece of nothing that poor little Jesus was wearing? He had on a seamless garment. It was worth money. Okay. So, they divided that. So it was custom in those days to crucify people by nailing their hands and their feet on the cross. So, but that actually, number 12, that signifies that Jesus won back your prosperity. That's what he did. The hands are about prosperity if you go down to the Jewish culture. Because, and we say it every time we get together, everything we put our hands to do prospers. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so Jesus redeemed us from poverty. Half the body of Christ doesn't like that either, but they're wrong. God said, I wish above all things that you prosper, be in health as your soul prospers. You ought to live all right so you can be a blessing to people. And then 13, Amanda, and this is number 6, the blood that was shed through Jesus' pierced feet. This is Matthew 27:35 is for that too, because this signifies that Jesus won back our dominion and authority. And so in Genesis 1:26, we see that God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over all the creeps. And so Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you authority to tread over serpents and scorpions and over all the and over all the authority. Those words right there are two different words. The first one is actually in Greek would be power. I give you power to tread over, or dunamis, and the second one would be exousia. So you have power over his authority. I may have them backwards. You have authority over his power. Excuse me for that. And so, because he has none. He's just a liar and a fooler. Amen. All right. So we got to get that. Amen. So he won you back your authority. You sit in a high seat of authority. You speak to the mountain. You speak to the devils. You speak to the thoughts. You do. You speak to them. You tell them to go. You cast them out. You tread over means if you step over, it can't bite you. You move forward. Kick them out. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Slide 14 is number 7. The blood that was shed through the spear in Jesus' side. So John 19:34 says, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. So the fact that blood and water came out from his side symbolizes that Jesus died from a broken heart. The intensity, the anguish, the weight, the burden of all of our sins that he took on himself, and our continual betrayal against him was too much for him to bear, and ultimately his heart stopped beating. I would say to you, don't go around saying, this breaks my heart. I wouldn't. Tell me the truth about that. Jesus' heart was broken. Yours is not broken, because heart is spirit, and your spirit is whole right now. Your soul may need some work. And all of ours do, right? Amen. We need some work in that character and stuff like that. But the truth is, Jesus paid for you to be whole. Amen. And I would just say to you too, you know, if you have been hurt by someone, Jesus will heal your heart. Jesus will heal your feelings. In fact, when you forgive, this is what I say. I always say, Lord, I choose to forgive them. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to heal me. Ask you to heal my feelings in Jesus' name. And he does. Amen. And he really wants to comfort us. He didn't want to just go, yeah, you deal with that. No, he wants to comfort us. He wants the best for us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so his heart stopped beating. So this is slide number 15. This signifies that Jesus won back our joy and healed us of our broken hearts. And then slide 16, and this is just the final thing here. 7 places Jesus bled: sweat, beating, bruising, thorns, hands, feet, and side. So every place that he shed blood redeemed us on another level. And so the life spilled changes, the life that was spilled out changes our future. Excuse me. And thank God for the blood, because it's redeemed us in every way. The blood's big, church. The Bible says over in Leviticus that the life is in the blood. People are like, why the blood? Why the blood? Because that's where life is. If you lose your blood, you will die. So Jesus literally paid life for every situation. But there's more. Because when he spilled his blood, he had blood that was not corruptible. You remember what they said to when Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead and he's been in there for 4 days? They said, but Lord, he stinketh. Why? Because it would have been corruptible, because blood gets stale and begins to smell. I don't know if you've ever had to be around that much, but it does. Even with animals, you know that. But with Jesus, his blood poured out, he didn't have his mother's blood. He had the Father's blood. He had the Father's blood. He had Holy Spirit's blood. Can I tell you, there is a river. There's a river. And it is coming from the Lamb of God. And when he took that whipping over and over, and all the blood and all the corpuscles and all that's working out and all that spilling out, life-giving Holy Ghost fluid was released into the earth. Now, God's blood, Jesus' blood, cannot die. So you want some God? Just breathe in the air. Because it was released. The blood of Jesus was released. It went to the mercy seat for you so that there's always intercession for you. Always intercession for you. You can plead the blood anytime. There's always intercession for you. But at the same time, there's also just that life and light of the Zoe life of God that is on the inside of you. When you said yes to Jesus, that came on the inside of you. The blood of Jesus is a part of your life right now, flowing in you. It is. Who said transfusion? That's what it's like. That's what we need to think about. The blood of Jesus is very close to the Father's heart. And it should be very close to our heart. And when you make much of the blood, the glory will come. The glory will come. God manifests when you talk about the blood, when you think about the blood, when you appreciate the blood, when you realize what Jesus has done. He was just like this beautiful vial that was broken open for us. And when he hung that beautiful head and cried, "It is finished. It's over for us. We're free. We're free. We are absolutely free today." Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Chris. Lord, we thank you for the blood. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for going through it for us. We thank you for all these 7 ways that you were pierced for us. We thank you that you took care of everything. You didn't leave anything out. We're grateful. We're so grateful to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we thank you that you're not hurting anymore. We thank you that you're whole, that you're sitting on your throne, that you're alive and well forevermore. And Father, the greatest day in history is Resurrection Day. And we thank you, Lord, for Resurrection Day as it approaches in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the resurrection was the most power used by God Almighty. More than at creation. Because at creation, there was nothing opposing. But Satan would stop resurrection. But he couldn't. You want to know why he couldn't? Because I'm just going to break the news to you. Jesus went to hell. If he didn't, you'll have to. and you're not, because he went, and it says he took captivity captive. It said he got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. It said that he was the champion. He conquered. It's written in the Word. I don't know why people don't get that. It's written in the Word. And then he came back and said, I've got the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I've overcome, and now you've overcome. We are overcomers. That's who we are. That's who we are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for Resurrection Day. We thank you for it. We thank you that you are the resurrection. You am. You are the resurrection. I'm going to tell the story real quick and then we'll close. Just for all of you know it, but I'm going to tell it online. When my dad was very ill with cancer, and back then we didn't know healing. We thought, if it be thy will, you know, stuff. And he was laying in the bed, and he could not turn loose. And I asked his pastor, wasn't my pastor, but his pastor, what would you read over him? And he said, read I am the resurrection and the life over him. So Sissy ran down, got the Bible, and came in and handed it to me. And I read, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And Dad went, poof. He left. He left on March 23rd, 1986. And 1 year later, I went to see my mother on Resurrection Day. And she was in a nursing home then because she'd been very ill with a heart situation. And I said, Mom, I just want to read one. And I'm thinking I'm reading an Easter scripture to her, a Resurrection Day scripture to her, and said, before you go. And I went, no, not before you go, before I go. I'm going to go home and eat lunch and stuff. And so I read to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he live, he will never die. And we hugged and left and went home. And when I got home, the phone was ringing. And they said, Miss Alexander, right after you left, your mom left. She went on the same scripture. Same scripture. You know why? Because my parents believed that. They raised me like that. They believed that Jesus is the resurrection. It's on their gravestone. I am the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection. Listen, he can resurrect any dead thing. Anything. Relationship, change every situation. Anything is possible with God and his power, with Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Let's receive our offering today. Praise the Lord. If you would like to give online, those of you who are watching, if you'd like to give online, you can give via text message to VCHL and the amount you want to give to 373-256 and click the link and complete your gift. Or you can look online and there's a give button there, or we can give into the bucket here in Jesus' name. Come on, brothers. Thank you for it, Lord. Father, we thank you for great harvest for everyone in victory and those watching victory in Jesus' name. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Praise the Lord. You want to tell your testimony about the guys and then they end up at Dave's? Or which one of y'all want to tell that? Or both of you? Okay. Okay.
So we had, this last week had been purging all the stuff out of the house, getting the house ready to sell, the house went to sale today. But I hired two guys to be there to work for me. They had some drama hit them, and unfortunately, they didn't show up to work. I am desperate. So I'm praying, okay, Lord, I heard, call Art. So I get on the phone and call Art.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much, Art, for having blessed the love blessed.
And you had, but you had the pre part of the story.
Yeah, the part B.
We
were today, so we were in Horseshoe Bay, and I said, "Hey, my friend needs help. Would you want to go see if you're interested?" We went. They said yes either way. I was like, "Well, let's go see, and I'll get you situated." And my friend has gone to my house. We bought the house. He's kind of giving me some ideas and things of what we can do. So I said, "Hey, you want to see the product from the house coming down the road from Dave's?" He says, "Yeah, sure." So we go over there, and like, "Wow, you guys did a great job." I show him how much I scraped the popcorn and, you know, rub it in his face. He's like, "Yeah, you did pretty good. Yeah, you did pretty good." He goes, "Hey, listen, we got a couple of hours. Why don't we knock out your living room floor?" And they did my whole living room floor and dining room in 3 hours. I said, "Do you want lunch? Do you want something for it?" And they knocked it all out while man and I had chicken with them. And I was like, "All right." So he's like, "Hey, we just want to bless you, man." And the next day, is this okay?
Yeah.
The next day, we went to another small project, and I was getting them tidied up. I drove by to see how things were going, and he said, "Hey, listen." I thanked him for blessing us, right? And he goes, "Hey, listen, I'm on to you." This is all in Spanish, so I'm trying to piece it together as best I could. But "I'm on to you." I said, "On to what?" "Because I know what you do." "So what do? "You bless people. You look and you bless people. And you want to make sure that you're sowing seed. And you sow seed to many people because you have many harvests coming." And he goes, "I sowed seed." I said, "Get this."
All right.
"Get this." And he goes, "Okay." Like, he's like, case closed. I got back to the car, told the man, I was like, "You know, he's studying me better than I'm studying me right now." I said, "Lord, I want my harvest in Jesus' name." It was amazing.
Praise the Lord.
I had no idea the back part of that. They got mega blessed the next day. Awesome.
Isn't that amazing how God does?
God
is so good. So you have a mowing story. You want to tell it?
Okay. So the blowing keeps going, the river's moving.
Yeah.
That afternoon, I was on the next door attic. I was growing, and I don't know where it just pops up. I need my yard cut immediately, either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. Somebody contacted her. We met Friday afternoon. Me and Lucy and I were going to go see the lady. Not knowing who she was, we get there, we talk, we agreed on a price, and I said, "Okay, I'll be here a little bit early.
Okay.
And she said, "I want you to do my yard regularly."
All right.
That came from what I should have earned that day. I got it. That's for her.
Praise the Lord. Well, Art, all I can say is the John Deere tractor came. That's good. Yeah, they are good tractors. But do you see how divine appointments can work? Yeah, I know. I have all orange, too. And I hear the Kubota people in the back going, So, you know. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
So, many of you know that Marble Falls ISD is $2.2 million short in funding for the state, which resulted in staff cuts, 20 positions in high school. So, 2 weeks ago, I got called in, and I have to tell you, it wasn't a good feeling that HR is sitting there, my upper central office is there, and I just walked in. I was like, "This doesn't look good," you know. And so, anyway, they said, "You know what this is? We've eliminated all instructional coaches." That's what I am, is I help teachers teach them. Eliminated all the instructional coaches, all the classroom management coaches. Your position has been eliminated. I was like, "Okay," and I tried to hold it together, and I watched my words very carefully. But I walked out, and the first person that I saw, I said, and Mac knows, I said, "A week or two from now, you're going to see
Jessica.
Favor's not fair. The very next morning, I got a phone call from HR, and they said, do you want to take a middle school position? And I had to watch my words, because I'd really rather have my instructional coaching position, right? But I was appreciative for the job, and I said, I absolutely will. And so I will be employed next year, and I want you to pray for the people. There are a lot of people, a lot of teachers in Marble Falls that still don't have jobs, and it's historic right now. There's never been a time where so many teachers in Texas cannot find jobs and whole schools are closing, but they kept me. So
praise the Lord. That's the favor of God. Praise God. Favor ain't fair. Favor ain't fair. It's all about the Jesus does it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God for John Deere and Kubota. I just want to get that straight. This is not a dog and cat thing in here. We like them both. Okay. Praise the Lord. So the thermostats know a secret about me, right, y'all? Y'all listen to them? You hear what I told you? Yeah, so we're not going to tell everybody about dogs and cats. Because
did you get a cat?
Mac? No. Okay, I'll just tell y'all. In my life, I've owned a few cats. I had Skit, and his name was Skit because Skit! I had Douglas. He turned out to be a, yeah. Anyway. And then I had Antipasto, and he went to the farm. And then my poodle got a little bit too rough with Wrigley. And so we figure that we should probably not have cats because we prefer poodles, and they're hunters. And they play, and so they shake. So now y'all know my secret. The problem is this was ancient. And then I met John Calvary, and he converted me. And so he came in with his kitty launcher, and I was like, ah, we're kidding. We're kidding. So do y'all know what they used to call, what they call flat animals that get run over out in the road? They call them sail cats out in West Texas. Sail cats. Do y'all know that? Brother Copeland taught me that. I never heard that in my life. Sail cat. It's a West Texas saying. Isn't that strange? I think we should just say, Lord, we give you that baby and go on with life. Amen. Because I don't care what it is. Well, skunk and snakes I don't care about. But anything else that, you know how you feel when the little fawn's laying out there? And you're like, oh. And the Lord told me this. He said, instead of starting to get all grievy about the animal, say this. Lord, I give him to you. And so that's what I do. And so it makes all the pain go away immediately because God's on the throne. Amen. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.